Good morning. How is everyone today? Good. That was good worship. I don't know about y'all, but Micah spoke right to me, so that was good stuff. Well, we're just going to jump right into the message today because I have a lot I want to share with you guys. And so last week, we started a conversation about the five ministry functions that Paul wrote about in chapter 4 of Ephesians. So we talked about how Jesus left the responsibility of building the church to all of his followers when he ascended into heaven, but he did not leave us empty-handed. We have all been equipped by Jesus with everything that we need to be able to build his church together. So flip to Ephesians 4, and starting in verse 11, it says, "So Christ himself gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So we're pretty much going to be in this passage for the next few weeks. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to kind of break down some of these functions and talk a little bit more about each individual one. Did anyone take the quiz that was posted on Facebook this week? Anyone take it? There's a link to it's called a fivefold ministry test, but it can kind of tell you, it's kind of like a personality assessment, but it's not going to tell you which Disney princess you are. It's going to tell you like how you might function strongly in the church. So these functions are a reflection of God's original intention for humanity. Our original intention, as God designed Adam and Eve in the garden, is to be co-creators and co-rulers with him. So I have a graphic here that kind of breaks down the five gifts. We have the apostles, who continue God's creative work. The prophets, which is to protect the image of God and creation. The evangelist spreads God's message of love. The pastor nurtures the growth of others. And the teacher reveals God's truth to others. So today we're going to take a closer look at the first two of these, the apostles and the prophets. Are you guys excited? Sounds fun, right? Yeah. See, these two, they work closely together. And they work together to create the foundation of the building of the church. So Paul uses the metaphor of the church being built in chapter 2 of Ephesians, starting in verse 19. He said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So, the apostles and prophets, the foundational part of the church. Now, some people read this and they think, well, those must be the two most important. Or maybe these two, since they're the foundation and the church is being built for the past 2,000 years, maybe they are no longer found. Maybe they're no longer functioning in the world. But they're both, just like the other three, are very essential to the continuing growth and building of the kingdom. So both apostles and prophets, they're natural risk takers. They love God fully, and they have surrendered fully to him. Now, this is when they're functioning in their fully mature state. See, they're designed by God to start a movement. And when they work together, and when they work together well, because sometimes they work together like oil and water. But when they work together well, they can do certain things. So these are some things that they do when they work together. They identify good soil. They read the culture around them. They confront spiritual strongholds. They discover open doors. They find the people of peace to build with. They call the church to obey God's voice. They establish a healthy DNA in the church. and they equip emerging leaders. And these are all important steps in any new movement, for a new movement to begin. So let's start by looking deeper at what it means to function as an apostle. So apostles are known for their contagious empowerment. Does that sound fun? You guys are asleep today. This is a very exciting topic. You guys are snoozing on here. They're known for their contagious empowerment. Better, okay. They are tasked with the overall vigor and extension of the church as a whole, and they are capable of building a sense of mission among God's people. See, apostles are pretty cool because they tend to see things differently than other people. So, for example, like somebody may look at an apple, and they may see it as fruit that meets the immediate need of hunger. But an apostle can look at an apple and see it as a vessel that is filled with seeds that, when planted and nurtured, can grow into trees that can produce enough fruit to feed generations of hungry people. So apostles see the potential in things that others may look over, because they're always thinking a little bit toward what's to come. See, apostles have been sent with a specific message or a mission to accomplish. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which basically just means sent one. And interestingly enough, the Latin word missionary also comes from that Greek root. So that's just a little snippet of information for you. So in John 3, Jesus is up on the rooftop having a secret conversation with the Pharisee Nicodemus. And he tells him, John 3:16, anyone know this one? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it through him. See, Jesus was sent by God to start a new movement in the world. And as such, he is the primary example of an apostle. Then if you flip over to chapter 20 in John, like a whole lot has happened by then, including Jesus being killed and resurrected. And the risen Jesus appeared to the disciples and he instructs them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So the mission was extended. The one that had been sent is now doing the sending. See, God sent Jesus to the world to save it. Then after leading through relationship and by example, he sent his followers to do the same, to carry on the mission. And that calling hasn't ended. But see, we also can't talk about apostles without talking about Paul. He's probably the most famous apostle of all time, right? See, he was specifically called and equipped to share the gospel with the Gentiles. So who are the Gentiles? Everybody that wasn't a Jew. So all the non-Jews. So he was sent, whereas like Peter was sent to the Jewish nation as their apostle, but Paul was sent to the Gentiles, the people who had never heard or connected with God before. And he traveled wherever God sent him. Y'all, it was a big job. It was a really big job. And there's this cool passage in Acts 16, and it shows how the Spirit guided where Paul was sent. Kids, this is where you need to listen. Are you with me? No? Thank you for being honest, Lane. In Acts 16, starting with verse 6, it says, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia." Kept by the Holy Spirit from, okay. "When they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. I'm not from the Middle East, y'all. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." See, Paul traveled like this, following the direction of the Spirit. Now, I've always found that pretty interesting because it says twice in that passage that the Spirit prevented him from going into certain places. Maybe the Spirit was preventing him from walking into certain death. We don't know. Or maybe the Spirit was just re-guiding him, readjusting his path so that he could go where there was an open door. See, Paul traveled like this, following the direction of the Spirit throughout his entire ministry. He planted churches and he spread the gospel throughout the rest of his life. And he never stayed in one place too long, unless he was in prison. Then he didn't really have a choice. But see, his impact on the world was legendary. Most of the New Testament that we have to read today is made up of the letters that he wrote to the churches that he helped to start as an apostle. See, even though he wasn't physically with them, his word held authority and wisdom. See, I remember as a kid being fascinated with the Apostle Paul. I thought his story was so cool, and I'm really nerdy, so I've always really liked maps and stuff. And so I remember during church, I would get my dad's Bible sometimes, and I would flip to the back where they had the maps. And you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah? And I would trace like all the missionary paths that the apostle went on, all the journeys that he took. And we get snippets in some of his letters about the hardships that he faced while he was on these journeys. There were times that he was spent in prison. He survived being shipwrecked more than once. He was beaten. And there's a story about how he got bitten by a venomous snake that like instantly killed people that bit Micah. And he survived. He pulled it off and went on about his business. Didn't even get sick. See, God preserved his life through all of this. Like, why do we not have like a movie or a show or something about Paul? Like, it's amazing. See, there was this passionate fire that was burning inside of him that fueled his mission. And he was equipped as an apostle to carry it out. That's where that fire came from, that calling he had. See, Jesus himself called Paul to be his apostle to the Gentile nation. And Paul did not fail on that mission. But see, even before Paul surrendered to Jesus, he was still functioning as an apostle. See, we all know the story about how Jesus came and appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus with the blinding light. Well, what was Paul doing on that road? He was traveling to a new place where he had been sent to try to arrest, capture, and kill followers of Jesus. See, he was an apostle for preserving the Jewish tradition. He traveled from place to place, arresting and persecuting anyone that believed in Jesus, but there was a huge difference between that mission and his gospel mission. The main difference is who sent him, who he was going for. So if we look at Galatians chapter 1, it's kind of cool because we kind of get Paul's resume here. It says, I want you to know, starting in verse 11, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Christ Jesus. For you have heard my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, which is Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. See, Paul was an apostle for the wrong mission. But then Jesus called him and equipped him to share the gospel. See, that seed of apostleship was already planted inside of him. As he said here, that God revealed his son in me. If he revealed his son in him, that means that he was already there. He was already a part. But God revealed that part to him so he could understand. How different would the world look today if Paul had rejected Jesus or denied his calling that day on the road to Damascus? It'd look a little different, wouldn't it? Maybe the gospel wouldn't have made it to the Gentile nations. Maybe we would either be Jews or maybe we would have never even heard of Jesus. See, I guarantee that Paul did not feel worthy of the message that he carried with him because of his past. But I am so thankful that he surrendered his guilt and doubt and fear to God and dedicated his life to functioning as an apostle for Jesus. Last week, I met up with a friend for lunch, and it's been a long time, probably since I moved to Clarksville, that we actually just sat down and talked together. And after chatting about kids and church and stuff for a little bit, she dropped some really big news on me. I wasn't quite prepared for it. She told me that God had called her and her family to plant a church in Sicily. And so next summer, her and her husband and their five kids are going to be moving to Italy to begin working with refugees from Africa in Sicily. And as she talked, I was so excited and nervous for her, but I was also jealous. See, a few years ago, I started praying that God would use me and Matt for international ministry. I had it in my heart that I wanted to go and save the world. I wanted to spread the gospel. But instead of sending us overseas, he told us to pack up and move to Clarksville. Oh, now you laugh. See, at that time, it felt like a huge step backwards. But now I can see that God answered my prayer. See, our international ministry, it doesn't look like what I expected. I expected that our home would be in a foreign nation. But what I found out is that a foreign nation comes to my home. See, our international ministry, it happens around our dinner table in our home when we feed students from all over the world. We feed them food, and we talk to them about God and life and all the things. See, God has opened up the world to us in this tiny little town in Arkansas. See, the world's changed a lot since the time of Paul. And I've always believed that an apostle had to be sent, physically sent to another location to be an apostle. But see, I don't believe that's the case anymore. Because we have ways of communicating with people that Paul didn't have. See, where he wrote letters, he probably would have just sent emails if it was now. Or done a Zoom call. See, one of my spiritual kids, somebody that's very important to me, is a young man that lives in Guatemala City that I've never met in person. But he's part of my family. I talk to him all the time. When he has a question about God, he reaches out to me. See, I may not be physically in Guatemala building a church, but I feel like God is using me to plant seeds in the heart of a young man that can do more to spread the gospel in his country than I ever could. See, God does send people to other parts of the world like he's doing with my friend and her family, but do not limit what God can do through you, even in your own home. See, the apostolic function is still very much active in the body of Christ today. All right, So this is the fun part. Let's talk about these crazy prophets. You guys ready for this one? Okay. See, when you say prophet or prophecy, you either like, people are either like, oh, that's cool. Or people are like, I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to. And it probably has something to do with your history with prophecy or prophets. I think that prophets are probably the most misunderstood of all five of the functions. So does anyone think of like a fortune teller? Anyone? No? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Maybe you picture like an Old Testament prophet like wearing camel hair and doing crazy things. I think of like John the Baptizer wearing camel skins and eating bugs in the desert. Yeah. See, regardless of what you picture, it's probably someone that's a little bit out there, right? A little eccentric. See, the prophets of the Old Testament, they were the voice of God to the people of Israel. And God often had them do some pretty crazy things to get his point across. However, the prophets don't have to function quite in the same way today. And here's why. So Jesus, who functioned as a prophet, he spoke for God with knowledge and authority while he walked the earth. He was equipped by the Spirit to speak about things that were still to come. And he used wisdom and discernment to know what to share, when to share it, and who to share it with. In John 16, he tells the disciples that a time would come when he would no longer be with them, but he would send them the Holy Spirit to guide them. John 16, 12, it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And true to his word, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came and it filled all the believers that were there seeking his presence. And then Peter stands up in front of the crowd on the busy street, and he quoted from ancient scripture from the prophet Joel, and he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. See, the function of prophecy is from Jesus through the Spirit. And the Spirit is accessible to all believers. So now that everyone has access to God through the Spirit, what does that mean? See, the purpose of the prophets in the Old Testament was to share the voice of God with the people. But see, now everybody can be personally connected to God. So are prophets still needed? And if so, what does that look like today? See, I grew up absolutely terrified of prophetic services. I remember once as a kid attending a service at a large church with a group from my little church, and we went to hear an evangelist speak, and he was known for his prophetic messages. And we were sitting up in the balcony area of this church when the speaker started pointing and calling out people in the crowd and listing off their sins in front of hundreds of people. Well, I was slumped so low in my seat, just praying that he would not point to me and announce that I had lied to my mom or I had taken some candy before dinner. But see, this experience, it marked me. It left bitterness in my heart about prophets and prophecy that lasted a long time. But then about 4 or 5 years ago, me and Matt were invited to attend a dinner with the rest of the staff from our church. And the dinner was hosted by another church in town. And we went we were not told a whole lot about it. We thought that we were just going to eat dinner with them and that they were just treating us and that it was a nice gesture. That we were just, it was kind of a church we partnered with, and so we thought it was nice. However, we quickly realized after we got there that we had been bamboozled. See, they invited us to dinner so they could pray over us and prophesy over us all. And me and Matt were a little skeptical, to say the least, because he had also been in services like the one I had just mentioned. So we sat there picking at the lasagna while each couple was called to sit in the seats. And there were these chairs that were like in the center of the front of the room, and each couple would be called up one by one, and they would sit there, and they would be prayed over. By the time it was our turn, of course, we were like the second to last, I think. By the time it was our turn, I was ready to make a run for it. Like, I was thinking, I was like, I could fake it. Like, the kids are with mom right now. I could pretend like she texted me and said they're sick. Like, I was thinking about all the things to, like, get out of it. And, I mean, I wasn't praying that my kid was sick. You know what I mean? But if, anyways. But see, I had noticed something by then. Nothing that they said about anybody had been negative. It was all actually, like, really encouraging and uplifting. But still, like, I don't want anybody, like, looking into my soul and reading my mail, especially in the room with our senior pastors. Like, it's a little unnerving. So I can't speak for Matt, but I was pretty anxious when we sat down in those chairs. And they actually commented about how we were, like, holding hands tightly, about how, like, we were good partners. And I was like, no, I'm just scared. Like, but see, something crazy happened. As they started speaking to us, I think that they could tell that we were skeptical because there was this one guy, and he asked Matt about a shoulder injury that he had no way of knowing about. And Matt said, yes, I do have, I had surgery, and yeah. And he said, okay, I don't know why, but like that just came to me, and I just needed to ask that. And see, what that was is that was affirming to us that, okay, maybe they are hearing from God. Maybe there is something to this. See, they started speaking to us, not about us. And I felt this warm feeling of truth just like flood over me. See, their words affirmed us and it gave us direction that we didn't even know that we needed. And actually one of them had written out, like had prayed for us before. He was given nothing but our names and prayed over us before we ever met him. And I still have that in a frame on my bedroom wall to remind myself that people are praying, that good things are coming. See, these people that we'd never met before seemed to know exactly what we needed to hear. And I believed in the beauty and the purpose of modern prophecy for the first time ever. See, God can speak to every one of us through his Spirit. He is speaking. If you're listening, you can hear him. But sometimes we need to hear it from someone else to believe what he's been telling us. See, the people that are strong in the prophetic function within the body of Christ, they carry the calling of revealing God's heart to others. A true prophet's a messenger that speaks to the church on God's behalf. They bring words of edification, exhortation, and even consolation. But if the words that someone speaks only tears people down, it is not true prophecy from God. See, during Jesus' first public sermon in Matthew 7, he warned the people to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. See, that service that I attended when I was a kid, where people's sins were being publicly called out, what did that produce? It produced bitterness, judgment, fear, shame, division. See, so many people have either lost their faith in prophecy, left the church completely, or even turned away from God because of services like that one. If someone gives you a word that they claim is from God, but it doesn't feel right, then you need to ask God for discernment and affirmation before you accept it as truth. And if the word is not affirmed, it's likely that it's bad fruit. So what kind of fruit does true prophecy produce? See, Paul writes that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. See, God has not equipped certain people in the church to tear down and pass judgment on others. And if you have experienced this kind of public condemnation in the church, I'm sorry. I'd fix it if I could. But you need to know that that was not from God. John 3:17 tells us that the Son of Man was sent into this world to not condemn the world, but to save it. So if Jesus himself was not sent here to condemn, then why would we believe, why would any ordinary person believe that they have the authority to do so? See, in the past couple years, I've come to recognize that people who are strong in the prophetic function in the church are often those that you least expect. I always thought that being a prophet was like being the mouthpiece for God. So I always like pictured like this big megaphone and like these loud, boisterous people that are yelling and shouting down fire from heaven. But see, speaking out, that is only a small part of the process. See, before a message can be spoken, it has to be received. And that requires time alone with God, seeking and listening for his voice. So the result of that are prophets are usually introverts. Did you guys know that? See, above all else, they desire individual time with God. And because they are well practiced at listening for the voice of God, they are uniquely qualified at helping others to understand and to know how to recognize the voice of God in their own lives. See, the voice of the prophet is essential to the body of Christ. I don't think that I would be here today standing in front of you guys if it wasn't for the voices, the prophetic messages that have been spoken over me in the past few years. See, talking about apostles and prophets is kind of intimidating. I've honestly wrestled with this message more than I do with most. And I couldn't quite figure out why, but see, I think that they are the two functions that have been pretty much ignored. And in some cases, even silenced by the church for the past 2,000 years. I think there's a lot of unnecessary fear and misunderstanding that people have about functioning as an apostle or prophet. But see, they're just as essential as the other three. And they're actually a lot more casual than it may seem. So you may think about the Apostle Paul and be like, no, that's not my life. I can't do that. I mean, I took this little quiz thing online and it said that I'm strong in my apostolic giftings and functionings, but I can't do that. That's not me. It doesn't mean you have to go overseas. See, being an apostle in the church today does not necessarily mean that you are sent to a faraway nation to share the gospel to pagan people that have never heard of him. That's not the world we live in today. See, being an apostle sometimes means that you just see things differently. It means that where others see a brick wall, you see an open door. See, maybe you're gifted at finding creative ways to connect with people. Or maybe you're able to look past the established systems to see a new way to share the gospel or a new way to do church. As far as functioning as a prophet, see, I could be wrong, but I don't think that God is asking any of you to go live up north in the forest and dress in deer skins and only eat beetles in order to share his good news. Like, am I wrong? Like, is that a calling someone has? No? Okay. All right. We can talk about it later if it is. But see, prophecy is much more accessible and more casual than you might think. It's literally listening to God's voice and obeying what he tells you. You know, sometimes he speaks to you in different ways. Some people get feelings. They just feel things. Or some people just know things about people or situations. You know, sometimes I tell Matt, my spidey sense is going off because I feel something, like there's something not right, or like there's somebody that's put onto your mind, or maybe you keep having these crazy dreams that can't possibly mean anything logical. Maybe that's from God. Maybe that's the only way that he can speak through you. See, it may be a revelation about a passage of scripture, or maybe it's just a strong feeling in the middle of the day to reach out to somebody and check in on them, or to stop what you're doing and say a prayer for them. My mom used to tell me that when I was in college, there would be times that God would wake her up at like 2 a.m. and say, pray for Carrie. See, have you ever felt that God was like nudging you to pray for someone? Or to say something specific to them? It's crazy, but my mom didn't know that at 2 a.m. was when I was getting off of my job of delivering pizzas that she didn't know I had because I was scared to tell her because I didn't want to worry her, and God still woke her up to pray for me. That's why you don't hide things from your moms. Just saying. God can tell them. They know your business. See, prophecy is the Spirit working through you to reveal the heart of God to the world around you. And I want to encourage you all, like during this series, ask questions and have conversations with one another. But more importantly, begin to ask God to reveal to you your ministry strengths and how you can best be used by him to build his kingdom. See, Paul functioned as an apostle long before he met Jesus. And I guarantee that you are functioning in some way in your strength, whether it's for Jesus or not. See, we all use what God has equipped us with in our lives. You know, apostles, if they're not following what Jesus has said, maybe they start businesses. Maybe they're out in the world doing things like that. Maybe prophet might become an artist and paint beautiful pictures of these crazy dreams they're having. I guarantee that you are using your strengths. But we have to surrender that part of who we are back to Jesus so that we can live up to the calling that he has entrusted us with. So I'm going to pray over you guys, and I want to encourage you guys, if you feel like maybe you understand or you relate with like the apostolic functioning or the prophetic functioning and you have questions or you're not sure or something, stick around after service. Talk to us. Like, talk to somebody. Because, yes, you can take a quiz online, but don't take it too seriously because God is giving you what you need when you need it. So if you walk around and you're like, well, I scored a 93 in prophecy, so I'm going to get a T-shirt and a name tag, and I'm going to walk around and I'm going to tell people what's up. Don't. So we can talk about it more. This is just basic information, but where you really start growing in your strength is when you start doing life with people who are also growing in their ministry strengths. So, Father, thank you so much for this time to just come here together and to just learn a little bit more about how we can help build your kingdom. God, thank you for meeting us here during our time of worship, for speaking to our hearts. God, just for showing us who you are, your love, your grace. God, I pray that you would just surround us as we go about our days. God, as we go through our weeks. Lord, I pray that you would just put it in our hearts and in our minds to start digging in a little bit more, to start thinking a little bit more about how we think. God, how we function. God, because how we function, those strengths that we have, you're showing us how we can help build your kingdom. God, help us to surrender, to be brave and strong enough to surrender all of who we are to you. God, that includes our strengths and that includes our weaknesses. Lord, I just pray that you would, as we surrender to you, as we give who we are, our personalities, our the way we think, as we hand that over to you and allow you to use us in building your kingdom here on earth, God, I just pray that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to grow in our understanding, that you would help us to look for new ways of understanding you and to see you in the world around us. God, I just pray that no matter what it is, no matter what we're doing, God, that we're doing it for your glory. Because these functions do not just function inside of a church building. God, I pray that you would just release us in the world to function, to build your kingdom in the world. God, I just pray that your goodness would show through our lives. God, that your grace would show through our words, that your love would show through our actions. God, I pray that you would just shape us and form us, God, so that we can live up to that calling that you have placed on all of us individually. Lord, help us to work in unity toward the common goal of sharing your gospel and building your kingdom. God, I just love you, and I thank you for everything that you're doing. Amen.